And good afternoon, GRN listeners across the South and Central Texas listening area. This is your live and your local program. This is In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, your general manager for the Guadalupe Radio Network South and Central Texas listening area. You can hear this program every Monday at noon, as you know, right here on your local GRN station, online at grnonline.com, or on the free Guadalupe Radio Network app. We're also streaming this program live on Facebook. And if, I'm sorry, we were streaming this program live on Facebook, but our Facebook page is down right now, and we apologize for that. But if you can, still join our Facebook group at GRN South and Central Texas Facebook group. Be sure to join us there. We're grateful for everybody who is tuning in from Marble Falls, from Uvalde, from Fredericksburg, Kerrville, and of course, right here in good old San Antonio. We're grateful you decided to spend this hour joining us and getting caught up on all things Catholic in South and Central Texas. On this program, we try to bring you a variety of informative decisions highlighting different people, ministries, and events going on in the Archdiocese of San Antonio and parts of the Diocese of Austin. On today's program, we're going to be speaking with none other than the dynamic deacon. And that is, of course, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. We're going to have a great interview with him, and he's going to be speaking about his engagement that's going to be coming up. It's a 3-night parish mission on this Lenten season on March 18th, 19th, and 20th at 7 p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Helotes. I'm sure everybody's familiar with OLG Helotes. It is a huge parish, and I know they are excited to have the dynamic deacon to be a speaker there for 3 nights. And guess what? It is free, and that's going to be March 18th, 19th, 20th. We're going to talk all about that. But before we do that, I've got an in-studio guest who's on spring break. Our own Kimberly Beck's daughter, Jenna Marie, is here in studio to learn about radio and kind of check out how things go on a radio. So, Jenna, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm really good. I'm very blessed to be here today. And I have a great, I'm so happy for my mom. She's doing such a good job.
She is.
And I am doing really good. I'm so happy at spring break. Really happy.
What are you going to do this spring break?
This spring break, I'm going to maybe go to the beach with my dad. I'm not sure. But probably just chill at the house.
John, better gas up the car because you're ready to go to the beach. Well, yes. I'm glad you joined us, and I'm glad. Do you want to give a shout out to your middle school friends?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have friends at Spring Branch Middle School. Lovely there, and I have lots of friends, and it's so much fun, and yeah.
Well, Jenna, welcome. You can stay here the whole hour. I'm sure you're going to be very, very delighted to hear the dynamic deacon. And I think we're going to learn a lot from the dynamic deacon. I'm looking forward to that conversation and, of course, having Jenna in studio. But before we begin our conversation with the dynamic deacon, let's get today's program started the way we should do all things, Jenna, and that's in prayer. And remember, as we pray, ask the Lord to make his will known to you and for the grace to accomplish his will in loving obedience. So we start, Jenna, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear God, may everything we do begin with your inspiration, continue with your help, and reach perfection under your guidance. With your loving care, lead all of us in our daily actions. Help us to persevere in love and sincerity. Bless us with an abundance of courage in proclaiming your holy name and the teachings of your church. Grant us the grace to do your will in loving obedience. Heavenly Father, keep us under your constant protection and draw us, our families, and our loved ones ever closer to you. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And of course, Jenna, we want to pray for everybody on spring break, everybody who's traveling, everybody going to the beach, going on destinations. We pray that you get back to and from your destination very safely. And of course, as we do every week, We pray for our vocations. We pray for our priests, our deacons, our seminarians, our sisters, our nuns, and of course, His Excellency Archbishop Gustavo Sierre, and of course, Bishop Gary Onick, and of course, Bishop Michael Boulette. And we want to make sure we keep them in prayer. And as we are in our adoration hours, we want to make sure that we are praying for them and for the graces that God blesses them with and keeps them safe. So just a recap of last week, I had the privilege of being at the San Angelo Fishers of Men dinner last Thursday. Yeah, it's not part of my area, but that's LEU, my counterpart's area. And I'll tell you what, it was nice sitting at the table with none other than Toya Hall, our founders, and also Bishop Sis, and of course, their keynote speaker, Carlo Broussard, who did a fantastic job. He was on fire. And I'll tell you what, it was a great Fishers of Men. And speaking of Fishers of Men, last week on the show, I had Father Craig Vosick and also Bishop Gary Onick here in studio. And as you know, Father Craig is going to be our keynote speaker for our April 9th Fishers of Men dinner here in San Antonio at the Witte Museum. It's going to be a great night. Again, that's April 9th at the Witte Museum. And of course, Bishop Gary Onick is our honoree and Father Craig Vosick is our keynote. And if you want to get tickets, you need to go into our website, grnonline.com/FOM. That's grnonline.com/FOM. And of course, FOM stands for Fishers of Men. Once you click on there, you can see the different table sponsorships. Or if you want to buy your individual ticket for $150, we've got those available as well. So be sure to go in. We need your support. We need the support of South and Central Texas. This is your Fishers of Men dinner. It's the 17th annual. We've been doing this for a while, and I'll tell you, it's been a great success in the past. We want to sell the event out. We're going to be at the Witte, like I said. 500 seats are available. I want to sell 500 seats. How's that? We want to sell that event out, Jenna. So with that said, if you will, go into grnonline.com/FOM, and you can get your tickets there. And we're greatly appreciative of everybody who goes on there to purchase tickets. So now, without further ado, I don't know if this if our station frequency is going to be able to handle all this energy from me and of course the dynamic deacon. But Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you, Deacon. And I'll tell you what, it's so exciting right now because you're going to be here March 18th, 19th, and 20th, 3 days at Our Lady of Guadalupe Helotes. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to let people know, you know, more about the event towards the end of our program. But I know there's not many out there who don't know who you are, but for those who don't, tell us a little bit about yourself and basically, you know, what you're looking forward to over at the Our Lady of Guadalupe event.
Yeah, just quickly, I was born in Barbados in the West Indies. My mother was the first Catholic in our family. She was Methodist, became Catholic as a teenager. So she didn't have to be rebaptized. Mm-hmm. I am the oldest child of my parents' marriage, so I was actually the first baptized Catholic in our family. When we came to the United States, I grew up in New Jersey, and it was very important to my mom that we have Catholic education. So grade school, high school, college, and graduate school for me were all at Catholic institutions. Mm-hmm. When I was young, I felt called to religious life. So I went to a Benedictine high school, did a come and see program for 4 years as a high school student, went off to college, graduated, worked for a year, and then joined the monastery. And very happy there. So my mom got sick and almost died, and I left to take care of her and my sister, who was still in high school, and went to a wedding and met the woman who ended up being my wife.
Wow.
She's from Oregon. That's why I moved from Jersey to Oregon, and discovered my diaconal vocation there, and had a law enforcement career at doing the diaconate, and was ordained November 23rd, 2002 as a deacon. And then left my career in June 30th, 2012 to speak and write full time in the Catholic faith. I've been doing that ever since.
You know, and if I went online to, you know, check you out, Deacon, not that I didn't know anything about you, because I heard you speak at the Western Sky at the Alexander House. They had an event there.
Oh, yeah, the fundraiser there. Yes.
Yeah, that's where we met with Greg and Julie. They're awesome. The Alexanders are fantastic. The Alexander House is fantastic. You did a great job, by the way, being their keynote that night. But I want to get back to who you are and just let us know. It sounds like your mom, but who influenced you the most growing up?
Yeah, my mom for sure. Yeah, because, see, she had a very simple faith, but she wanted to make sure she imparted that to us. So I remember clearly being 10 years old, 9 years old, and my mom kneeling us down, me and my brothers. My sister was still too young then, but kneeling us down and, like, repeating after her, our Father, who art in heaven, our Father, Hail Mary, glory be to Father, angel of God, every night. You know, we go to Mass with her every day, you know, and I was serving Mass. She made sure that if she couldn't drive, that I left early enough to be able to get to church on time to serve Mass. I mean, she's really committed in that way.
Right.
And plus, making sure we had a Catholic education, that was extremely important to her. So, yeah, she was definitely the number one influence in my life as far as the faith is concerned.
And you saw yourself getting that call, right, to the priesthood? At a
I remember being 10 years old and serving Mass. I remember very clearly it was my turn to ring the bells, and the Father O'Connor was about to elevate the host. I had my hand on the bells. I remember thinking to myself, I could totally see myself doing that.
Wow!
Like, you know, the first time I thought, wow, I could be a priest, you know. And yeah. But then I went to Benedictine High School. Like I said, did a come and see program all 4 years of high school, and thought, okay, God's calling me to life as a monk and a priest.
Yeah.
You know, so and I was on that path until the Lord changed the direction of my life. So,
and you met your beautiful wife at that wedding, and that kind of changed things and kind of threw you into the path of the diaconate.
Yeah, I never really thought of, I've never even really met a permanent deacon before. And when I got to Oregon, you know, I dove into parish life. You know, I was lecturing and training altar servers and on the St. Vincent de Paul and on parish council and the maintenance committee and all these different things. And it wasn't enough.
Right.
And, you know, I the Lord was clearly calling me to something deeper, and it ended up being a diaconate, you know, discovered the diaconate with the help of my pastor, you know, started the entered into the program young. I was 30 years old when I started the program.
Wow.
And got ordained just past my 36th birthday. So, yeah, it's been a great ride for sure.
And you continued law enforcement for another 10 years, is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. So my career was 23 years altogether.
Uh-huh.
So I became police chief at the University of Portland in 2001. And I was ordained in 2002, so I was doing law enforcement that whole time. And I just really, as an adoration in 2011, because my area specialization, besides being a chief on the college campus, was threat assessment. So
right.
I was president of the Western Association of Campus Law Enforcement Administrators at the time of 9/11. And so when that happened, the International Association sent all the regional presidents to FLETC, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center in Glencoe, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So I trained in threat assessment there and then ended up going to Quantico doing advanced training. I was teaching contemporary threat assessment methodology at the police academy. I was doing tactical training for pod insertion teams for active shooter scenarios.
Wow.
I wasn't doing anything on the Catholic faith.
Right.
And in 2011, I was in adoration, kind of minding my own business, and then the Lord put it on my heart, I need you to do a different type of threat assessment for souls.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, okay, nope. And the Lord said, yep. And I said, nope. He said, yes. And wow. I said, but I'm very comfortable, Lord. And the Lord directed my gaze to a crucifix in that adoration chapel. And he said, if you want to take your relationship with me to the next level, you got to get uncomfortable.
Wow.
And I said, oh boy, here we go. And that started a year long journey of significant discernment and prayer. And I had to talk to my wife, because at first she was like, yeah, leave your job. How much money do you make? We got kids at Catholic school. We got a mortgage. What are you thinking?
Well, I'll tell you what, we got to go to a quick break, but Deacon Harold Burke will be right back. Just sit tight. The 2024 Spring Share-a-thon is right around the corner and will begin on Tuesday, March 19th through Friday, March 22nd. Our theme is Trust and Mercy. We will be asking for your financial support to help keep the Guadalupe Radio Network on the air in South and Central Texas. We humbly ask that you call in at that time to make your one-time donation or monthly pledge of support. We're grateful for your generosity and pray the Lord abundantly blesses you.
This is a Messy Family Minute with Mike and Alicia Hernan. The goal of fasting from anything, whether food or other pleasures, is to subordinate our flesh to our will. Basically, we need to make ourselves do things we do not want to do. And the more that we do this, the less selfish and less self-centered we become. We all need to continue to work on this muscle in order to develop its strength. Parents of young children, take note. Nothing so naturally helps develop this muscle like children.
Your children are cute, endearing, compelling little crosses made especially for you. You know, sometimes it's easier to handle a cross we choose ourselves, like I will get up at 4:30 every morning. It's harder to handle crosses we don't choose, like my 2-year-old randomly wakes me up at 4:30. It's important for parents to keep in mind that some subordination of the will is naturally baked into family life. Embrace those moments and don't underestimate them as opportunities for fasting put right in front of you.
Visit us at messyfamilyminute.org.
Hi, this is Dave Palmer. Do you love all that you're learning about the Catholic Church here on the GRN? And are you ready to dive into the deep? If so, join us each Friday afternoon beginning at 1 p.m. Central for Back to the Father on the GRN's Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter pages as we discuss key teachings of St. Thomas Aquinas' Summa Theologia and their application to our everyday journey through this life and our goal of returning back to the Father. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Central, email backtothefather@grnonline.com for more information.
All right. I like that. Here we go. And welcome back, everybody, to In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, your general manager for the Guadalupe Radio Network's South and Central Texas listening area. I am so glad y'all joined us. I am joined today by the dynamic deacon, with the dynamic deacon, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And Deacon Harold, I want to continue where we left off before the break. You said the Lord told you in adoration, if you want to take our relationship to the next level, you have to get uncomfortable. I want to talk about that uncomfortable journey and what that was like and what that brought you to.
Well, yeah. So, you know, obviously my wife, like I mentioned, was nervous about that. And I said, well, I'm not going to leave my job. I have to figure out what God wants me to do. And she said, what God wants you to do is keep your job. So, yeah. And so it started a year of serious discernment. And I really spent the first several months trying to talk God out of it.
Oh, wow.
You know, I was like, hey, you know, you actually mean somebody else. You really don't mean me, you know. Trying to make all excuses. It's like I even went to people that I knew that if I went to this particular person, they would try to talk me out of it.
Right.
And just the opposite happened. Every single person I went to who I thought would help me change my mind actually said, no, you should go for it. So every door I tried to close, the Lord opened another one. And so at that point, I figured, okay, this is from God here. I need to do something different here. So I ended up just trusting him.
Yeah.
You know, which is scary. It's like jumping off a cliff, you know, and you know, yeah, I got the parachute on, but I still got to take that step off the, you know, off the cliff. And, but in my heart, I knew God was calling me. My head was like, what are you, crazy? No, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But it's, now I look back on it, it's the best thing I could have ever done. I mean, I look back on it now, I was like, what am I so scared of? You know, and it's just been a real blessing.
And look, I mean, thank God that you didn't back out, or thank God that God was right and your journey was just taking off. Now, I'm sure you had a lot of support from your family, even though your wife saying God wants you to keep your job. That's scary, like you said, taking that leap of faith, and that's exactly what you did.
Yeah, and so when it was time to actually make a decision, you know, I did take my wife to dinner and we talked for 2.5 hours, you know, because obviously this is a significant change in our family and how it's all going to work. And after that 2.5 hours, she goes, you know, God is calling you to do this. And after all, God's in charge of finances. We should do it.
Yeah.
And that's significant because it wasn't you should do it. It's like we should do it.
Yeah.
You know, and when she said those words, I knew right then that this is what God was calling me to do because it was her love that gave me the courage to follow God's will. So I wrote a resignation letter that night and I turned in the next day. And in June 30th, 2012, the end of the fiscal year, I walked away from 23-year career and started speaking, writing full time. And it's been an incredible journey.
Yeah, you've written, you're the author of 7 books, which, you know, one of them, I really want to read this one, Catholicism After Coronavirus, because that time period, it was just so heavy on the Catholic Church. And just kind of give us a little bit of thought process on, you know, what drew you to write that book and, you know, what were the insights?
Yeah, so that was a collaboration with Bishop Barron in Word on Fire. They approached me about being a contributing author to this book that they were putting out about the church after the pandemic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I wanted to share my thoughts. In fact, one of the things that I kept saying over and over again was important that we get back to the basics of our faith. So even before the pandemic, 69% of Catholics did not believe that Jesus Christ was present, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Eucharist.
Wow.
I'm like, wait a minute. That's before the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wait a minute. If 69% of people don't believe it, then what we need is a Eucharistic renaissance.
Yeah.
We need to get back to the basics of our faith. I mean, Jesus Christ gave himself to us, body, blood, soul, divinity, and most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. He gave himself totally and completely.
That's right.
And that's the basic foundation of our faith, where we share life with God. Literally, we have God's life in us. And if you don't believe that, then why are you at Mass? I mean, right. Are you just there because you think, oh, I'm going to punch the clock and then, you know, just automatically get to heaven? It doesn't work like that. You know, so I've always said we need a Eucharistic renaissance. That's why I was so glad to see the bishops put together that 3-year plan, focusing everything back on the Eucharist again.
The revitalization,
The Second Vatican Council says the source and summit of our faith.
God, that's beautiful. And, you know, it's all about stepping up, right? And so how do you get men to lead their families and do what you did? Step up and do your thing. Because that's the biggest thing that we have is hesitation and fear. You hesitated, you were fearful, but you still answered the call. How does your regular family, your regular Joe out there leading his family, how does he step that up and lead his family?
Well, it gets back to the basis of who we are as men. In Genesis chapter 2, it says God put man in the garden to till and to keep it. And the word till is abad in Hebrew. That means a work that's in the form of service. And to keep is shamar, means to protect and defend. So what the Lord was doing, he put the man in the garden, gave him his purpose, his mission, his vocation, his calling, serve, protect, and defend everything I am entrusting to you.
Right.
And Adam failed. When it came time to actually do that, when the devil was all up on his wife, trying to destroy covenant relationship with God, mm-hmm. He stood there and said and did nothing. And so we have St. Joseph, who says nothing. There's not one recorded word in the entire Bible that Joseph says anything, but his actions spoke louder than his words. He did everything faithfully God asked him to do. And then St. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ show his love for the church? He died for her.
Right.
He gave his life for her. So, yeah, men are the heads of their families. There's no question about that. But we're the head because we're the chief servant of our wives and children. And Christ gives us the model. I've not come to be served, but to serve. The greatest among you is the least, is the servant of all. And that's something that we have to remember as men. That's our job. That's who we are. That's not just a job description or type. That's literally who we are as men.
Right.
And we've gotten so far away from that. We've had, you know, the fatherhood problem. You know, so many men are incarcerated. When you talk to them, many of them, they didn't have fathers in the house growing up.
Wow.
You know, so we have this crisis of fatherhood. And the way it works, strong men, strong family. Strong family, strong church.
Right.
Strong church, we take back the culture. And so that's why I spend, you know, I wrote my first book for men. I spent a lot of time. I just did, just this past weekend, did a men's retreat up in the Seattle area. I'm in Indiana now. But, yeah, I mean, we men have to get, what's the foundations? We're the priests in our home.
Yeah.
And the main job of a priest is to offer sacrifice. So your job is to die every day to yourself, to live for your wife and your kids. Or if you're a priest, same thing applies to you. You're a father of a family, a parish family. Same thing applies.
And it starts with something simple, right? Going to Mass every Sunday, taking your family to Mass, and then taking them out to eat and talking about what you just heard. And
yeah,
also,
exactly. I mean, they have to understand why they're there. I mean, look, kids say Mass is boring. Why? Because they have no idea why they're there. They're there because their parents bring them there every week. They're there because they have to sign some piece of paper. Look, Father, with the Mass, I can get confirmed, which many of them is Catholic graduation.
Right.
But they need to know why. What is God doing for them at the Holy Sacrifice Mass? What does anything at that altar have to do with my life every day outside of Mass? That when they start making those kinds of connections, now they begin to own the faith themselves. It's not just something that my parents told me I had to do. And that's the mistake we make. We tell these kids, you can't do this, you can't have sex, you can't drink, you can't do drugs, you can't, you know, all these things the church says is bad. No, it's not about what you can't do. It's about what God's love frees you to do.
Right.
How does God love free you to become the person he created you to be? So why shouldn't you drink? Why shouldn't you? Not you shouldn't, you shouldn't, you can't, you can't. Because in their minds, it's just a bunch of rules, commandments, moral code, just things I can't do that restricting my freedom. It's just the opposite. It's following virtue that frees you to become the person who God created you to be. And so that's what we have to flip the switch and show them by embracing what their hearts truly desire, that they actually want what the church is offering.
And it's also about being an extension of the pulpit, right? As men and, you know, listening to what, you know, the pastor has to say during the homily and taking that further and diving deeper into that with your family, with your kids.
Yeah. One of the things we used to do is before Mass on Sunday, we used to take the gospel reading. And as we were starting, did I just read the gospel for the coming Sunday? And we just have a little discussion about it. No scriptural exegesis, nothing like that. Hey, what do you guys think? Everybody had a thought or opinion.
Yeah.
No one was wrong. You know, there's no wrong. I mean, so everybody thought, okay, thinking about what Jesus is doing, why it's important, what does it any of that have to do with us, and how we put this in our life every day. And what that did was we went to Mass on Sunday. They didn't hear the gospel for the first time. And now they're listening to the homily because they go, oh, I wonder if Father's going to mention any things that we talked about. So they're automatically more engaged.
Right.
You know, so it's the little things like that that often make the biggest difference, to make those connections to the why of the faith, you know, and how that why connects to my life every day.
And I think, I mean, we're going to go to break here in a bit, but Deacon, when we come back, I want to further that discussion about understanding our Catholic faith before attempting to defend our faith. I think that's so important that we know and understand how to defend our faith when we have to, when we're called upon to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we got to remember, we got to defend our faith without getting defensive.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we take offense, right, when somebody attacks us or attacks our religion. And, you know, I think we need to have some, I guess, certain subjects that we're keen on that we can, you know, not throw back in their face, but defend our Catholic faith.
And how should we approach that? When somebody's yelling at you and screaming, you know, what I hear is, I'm lost, please show me the way.
Right.
I'm hurting, please help me. That's what I hear. Because the reason why they yell and scream, ultimately, they really have no argument. It's just emotion. And they want you so caught up in the emotion that you don't think.
Right.
And one of the reasons why I love, of the many, many reasons I love being Catholic, is that we are a thinking church.
That's right.
You know, so we have to put the emotion aside and start using our brains to start thinking.
That's right, Deacon.
And practically.
Just because they're loud doesn't mean they're right. We're going to take a real quick break, Deacon, and we'll be right back. The 2024 Spring Share-a-thon is right around the corner and will begin on Tuesday, March 19th through Friday, March 22nd. Our theme is Trust and Mercy. We will be asking for your financial support to help keep the Guadalupe Radio Network on the air in South and Central Texas. We humbly ask that you call in at that time to make your one-time donation or monthly pledge of support. We're grateful for your generosity and pray the Lord abundantly blesses you.
Hi, this is Adam and Debbie from The Spirit World.
Join us this week as we discuss two great saints, St. Joseph and St. Patrick.
The Holy Spirit has created a special devotion to St. Joseph in recent years.
And St. Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland, is celebrated in Catholic and secular society.
Call in with your stories this Saturday, 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Mother of Divine Grace School has served families worldwide for over 25 years, guiding them and implementing this fully accredited Catholic classical curriculum at home. Founded by homeschooling veteran and author Laura Berquist, the Mother of Divine Grace School program supports parents in their mission to educate their children in the truth. Enrollment for fall 2024 is now open. Call 805-646-5818 or visit modg.org.
I'm Father Peter Pomposello, U.S. Army chaplain serving the Archdiocese for the military services. I'm recruiting men to be priests, priests to be soldiers, to be all they can be. Less than 90 priests serve more than 1 million soldiers and families worldwide. Join our mission. Contact me at fr.unclesam on Instagram or goarmy.com/chaplains. May your Lent be a campaign of Christian service to take up battle against spiritual evils. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right, I like that. Everybody, thanks for coming back, and we hope you're having a great day. We want to thank you for listening, and just a reminder, you can join our Facebook group page at GRN South and Central Texas. And a reminder, if you have an event that we can help build awareness about, much like we're doing right now with the Dynamic Deacon who's going to be in town, please reach out to me or join me on the show. That's what we're here for. And I want to remind everybody that we are speaking to the Dynamic Deacon, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, right now. He is going to be at Our Lady of Guadalupe in Helotes on March 18th, 19th, and 20th. All 3 days at 7 p.m., he's going to have a, he's going to be speaking, and I think it's going to be a great event. And here's even the greatest thing about the event is it's free. You can attend this. I think you're going to get a lot out of hearing the Dynamic Deacon. I think it's going to be a great event. But, Deacon, we were just talking about, you know, defending our Catholic faith and what that looks like and how we should approach that when we hear somebody yelling louder than us about why our faith is this or why our faith is that. What are the basic premises? What are the basics that we should know going into that battle?
Well, the thing is, we talk about Catholic apologetics, right? Apologetics doesn't mean apologizing for being Catholic.
Right.
It's from a Greek word, apologia, which means to defend. So like I mentioned before, we have to defend our faith without being defensive. And so we got to remember that the real goal is not to win arguments. People make the mistake of thinking, if I just give them this devastating argument for St. Thomas Aquinas, if I just, you know, quote this from the Bible, if I just give them this section of the catechism, I know I can convert them. Right. And that's a huge mistake because we can't convert anybody. We're not that good.
Right.
Only the Holy Spirit can convert minds and hearts. You know, our job is to, like, be the parable of the sower to throw seeds, mm-hmm. to throw seeds of faith. And when those seeds land, what does St. Paul say? I seeded, Apollos watered, God gave the yield. So it's God that gives sunlight and fertilizer and a lot of seed of faith that goes to that person's heart. We can't do that. Only God can do that. So right. You have to realize what our role is. God does the heavier part. He has the heavier lifting. You know. But here's the thing. The seed can't grow if the seed is not there.
Right.
So God leaves work for us to do to plant that seed of faith. And then, okay, you did your part. Now let me take over from here. Mm-hmm. But it may take a while to get through that thorny rocky, weed-filled heart of that person. But God works in his time, and God's timing is always perfect. We got to remember, our job is not to win arguments. Our job is to say, at the end of the discussion, how do I get this person in front of me to want to listen to more of what I have to say?
Right.
See, so for example, I gave a talk a few weeks ago in a parish on, and I specifically talked about atheism. I wasn't planning on talking about atheism that night, but there were atheists there. Someone told me that there are several atheists that came to hear me talk about Catholic apologetics.
Oh, wow.
I said, oh, so let me talk about atheism first. So I gave them a scenario of how I approached an atheist who approached me in a grocery store and said, your religion is the problem for the whole world today, your faith and all this stuff, and how I approached that. So at the end, I found out that the atheists were angry with me. But here's why they were angry. Not at what I said. They could not refute the argument. That's why they were angry. So they left thinking. They left, I thought Catholics were stupid. How come I could not think my way through this guy's argument? That's why they're upset. But you know what? That's the seed that was planted. Because now they're going to leave. They're angry. But once they get over the emotion, they're going to start digging deeper. Wait a minute. Let me look at this argument. And then hopefully that God can begin to use that in God's timing to be able to help the person to realize that God is real and that he wants to be in a relationship, intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion with them.
Wow, I wish I would have been there for that talk. That would have been awesome. And what else did you say? What was the most compelling thing that you said that you think changed their mind or changed their mindset?
Well, no, I wasn't trying to change their mind. It was more, what I did with the atheist was I asked questions that he couldn't answer. It's a Socratic method. So instead of like, he gives me an argument, I give you an argument back. He made an argument and I said, okay, well, let me ask you a question. What about this?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you can't even prove to me, the guy in the grocery store, you can't even prove to me God exists. Okay, how about I prove to you that it's possible that God could exist?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. And so I took my phone out and put it on the shelf in the grocery store. I said, is my phone moving, yes or no? And he said, yes. Well, obviously the phone wasn't moving, but he said, since the earth was moving, the phone was moving. I said, okay, all right. Relative to the rotation of the earth, is the phone moving? No. So the laws of physics would say that is an object that is at rest. It's in a state of potential motion because it's not actually moving.
Right.
In order to move something from a state of potential to actual motion, what has to be applied to the object? He said, force. I said, amen. Force equals mass times acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
So in order for that phone to move, I have to pick it up, knock it over. There has to be an earthquake. There has to be some force that moves that phone into a state of motion, or else it'll always stay there. And
right.
An object that is at rest will continue to remain at rest unless impelled by a force. He said, yes, that's logic and science. I said, okay, do we have things in the universe that are moving? No, not a trick question. I said, like, we have the earth is moving, rotating. The moon is rotating. The moon is rotating by the earth. They're both rotating around the sun. We have light, comets, meteorites. We have all kinds of things that are moving.
Yeah.
Now, you agree with me that things don't move unless impelled by a force. What caused all the motion in the universe in the first place? And he said, the Big Bang. And I said, I agree. That was a theory developed by a Catholic priest. He said, no, it wasn't. I said, hold on a second. Since my phone is in use, get your phone out. Go to Google. Type in Father George Lemaître. Let me spell it for you. Tell me what the search results say. And of course, he looked at the search results as Father of the Big Bang. He goes, oh. I said, okay, Big Bang, since you brought it up, what caused the Big Bang? And he had no answer.
Yeah.
I said, you're 0 for 1. Right. And I just said 0 for 2, then 0 for 3.
Yeah.
And so there was I gave three simple propositions that he had no answer for, that atheism had no answer for.
Yeah.
Why? Because ultimately it can't answer the deepest question of the human heart, which is why? Why am I here? Why do I exist? Does my life have meaning? Because for the atheist, there's nothing. There's nothing after this life. So your whole life lived for no purpose at all.
Right.
And at the end of your life, that's it. You're dead. There's nothing. You know, and that's not satisfying because why? God created the human heart for him.
Sure.
That's what the natural moral law is about. Where you can come to know God by reason alone. And they deny that part of themselves. So what I'm trying to do is to wake that part of them up. That's all.
I'll bet you did too that day. That is a compelling argument. But the other thing I wanted to touch on, and I wish we had more time, but should Catholics take a deeper dive into Bible study?
Oh, absolutely. Because the Mass itself is completely biblical. I mean, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is biblical. I once had a Protestant challenge me. You can't show me from the Word of God where your Mass comes from. I said, really? Okay, let's do this. Get your Bible out, and I will show you. I'll walk you through the Mass line by line, and I will show you from your Bible where the Mass comes from. So we started. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Matthew 28:19. Look it up. So he looked up in his Bible. Of course, Matthew 28, last chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verse 19, is like right at the end of the Matthew's Gospel. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So then we say, Amen. 1 Chronicles 16:36. First Chronicles 16:36. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. By the time we got to bless are you, Lord God of all creation, Ecclesiastes 3:13, he gave up. Because every line I was showing, he was looking up in his Bible. So our Mass is biblical. So of course we need to do a deep dive on the biblical studies. Why? Because God, in the Word of God at Mass, he's feeding us with words of life. He's feeding us with his Word, preparing our minds and hearts and souls to receive him again, body, blood, soul, divinity, and the Eucharist. So we're fed twice at every Mass, Word and Sacrament.
That's beautiful. And I wanted to get your take on that because I was at a Mass not too long ago, and the pastor was up there, and he said, why didn't everybody get their Bible out? He was making a joke, right?
Yeah,
and of course, he said, well, we're in a Catholic church. Nobody had a Bible. So hence, you know, in my mind, I'm like, wow, we really should. I mean, we're Bible based, and that one of the questions I really wanted to ask you was about that Bible study and deepening our knowledge about the Bible and what that entails.
Well, there's no excuse now. I mean, we've got the Bible Timeline from Jeff Cavins. We have the Bible in a Year by Father Mike Schmitz. You know, we have my Bible study, Ignite, Read the Bible Like Never Before.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's so many different ways to take in God's Word and make it become a part of your lived experience. Where the Bible is not just a book on a shelf. It's not just words you hear at a Mass. It's really incorporating God's Word into your life because he is speaking to your life,
right,
to your situation, to your needs, to your heart in and through that Word. So we should make that Word personal to us and allow God to speak to us, to move us, to bring us more deeply into his sacred and immaculate heart.
Well, before we go to this next break and in the final segment, what I want to talk about is your talk show on EWTN, Beacon of Truth. I want to come back and talk about that. I also want to talk about your book, Building a Civilization of Love, A Catholic Response to Racism. I think it's very important that we talk about that and tell us a little bit. Give us some insights about, you know, stop seeing color and start seeing the image of God in each person. I think it's so important.
Yes, amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Look forward to talking about that.
Yeah, and of course, we'll end with letting everybody know about your engagement, speaking engagement here in San Antonio. It's going to be great to have you back, Deacon, in San Antonio, March 18th, 19th, and 20th at 7 p.m. each day at Our Lady of Guadalupe Helotes. And I'm so excited about that. And it's free. I can't believe it's a free event. I think it's going to be a packed crowd out there.
Well, I hope that'd be really great. It is Lent, you know, so this is a time for us to draw deeper in our faith, to draw closer to Jesus, really ask, where am I in my life right now?
Right.
You know,
right.
Where am I on my faith journey? You know, do I need to draw closer to the Lord? And this is definitely a way to do that.
And, you know, we're going to come back and talk more about that. Hang tight, Deacon. We'll be right back.
donate a car to the Guadalupe Radio Network, you're not only supporting your local Catholic radio station, you're also getting a great tax deduction. So if you have a vehicle that you don't want anymore, consider making a tax-deductible donation to the Guadalupe Radio Network by calling 1-866-628-CARS or go to grnonline.com and click on Donate. From the folks at the GRN, thank you, and may God abundantly bless you.
Hey there, I'm Keith Downey, and I'm excited to journey with you on the road to holiness each weekday morning on the show Morning Joy from the Guadalupe Radio Network. Keeping our eyes on the Holy Spirit, we'll pray together, learn from the saints, meditate on the daily gospel, stay informed, and hang out as friends on the after show. This will be a daily adventure like no other. Join us every morning at 6 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Eastern to start out each day with Morning Joy, where truth matters.
Join Our Lady of Guadalupe in Helotes for an exciting three-night mission by Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, also known as the Dynamic Deacon. The mission will focus on the theme, making missionary disciples. Through his talks, Deacon Harold will give you the tools you need to go out and make disciples of all nations. This will take place March 18th through the 20th. This is a free event and open to anyone and everyone. Bring a friend and come along for this dynamic ride. Visit olghelotus.org to learn more.
The 2024 Spring Share-a-thon is right around the corner and will begin on Tuesday, March 19th through Friday, March 22nd. Our theme is Trust and Mercy. We will be asking for your financial support to help keep the Guadalupe Radio Network on the air in South and Central Texas. We humbly ask that you call in at that time to make your one-time donation or monthly pledge of support. We're grateful for your generosity and pray the Lord abundantly blesses you. All right, everybody, and we're back. This is Gordy Zambrano. You're listening to In His Vineyard with none other than the dynamic deacon, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Great to have him on. And, of course, this is a show where we're promoting. He's going to be in town. He's coming to San Antonio March 18th, 19th, and 20th out at Our Lady of Guadalupe Helotes. You just heard the public service announcement. Deacon Harold, we're happy to have you on the show, and I want to jump into your talk show on EWTN, Beacon of Truth. Tell me how that got started. Tell me about, you know, some highlights, what you love about doing your own radio show.
Well, you know, I've been on EWTN every year since 2005, yep. You know, on television. So I have 9 television series on the network. And several years ago, I did have a radio show as well called Morning Glory. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that show ended, ran its course. And then EWTN wanted me back on the radio again. So last year, we were kicking around some ideas and kind of the idea for Beacon of Truth came to the top because I noticed in traveling around the world and speaking that especially a lot of young people, mm-hmm. I kept hearing constantly, want to hear the truth, and we're not hearing it all the time. Right. And so I said, no, we got to do something about this. And so the radio show basically developed to help bring people to a deeper love and intimacy of Jesus Christ by exploring what St. Paul says, the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. Because what is truth? Truth is not an idea. Truth is not a philosophy. Truth is a person. Yeah. Truth is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a truth, the truth and the life. And so this show is about bringing people to a deeper level of intimacy by speaking the truth of the Catholic faith and love.
That's beautiful. And, you know, I wanted to jump into, you know, your radio talk show, Beacon of Truth, because the time, and it's on, it airs on the Guadalupe Radio Network every day at 3, right after the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And, you know, our EWTN general manager, Jack Williams, said that your enthusiasm for the faith is contagious. And so how do we go out and evangelize and take that contagiousness to others?
Well, the thing is, you know, we treat our faith like COVID. You know, what we do is we wear a mask. We don't want to be around anybody. We want to keep the, you know, just stay inside to keep it to yourself. We can't do that. We can't keep our faith inside the walls of the church. We can't keep our faith to ourselves. We can't keep our faith safe and contained.
Right.
You know, our faith needs to be spread. It needs to be shared. We need to witness to the power of God's love working in our in people's lives every day. You know, at the end of Mass, we get kicked out by the deacon. Ite missa est. Go, she is sent. To do what? To be Eucharist to the world. We just received Jesus Christ in word and in sacrament. Now we have to go out and be Eucharist to the world. So we're called to witness to our faith in whatever way God has called us to do that. So everybody's not going to do what I do. Everybody has their own gifts, their own charisms, their own way of witnessing to the power of the faith in the way that God has given them. So they have to use their talents, their gifts, to honor and glorify God. And that's what we have to figure out how to do. The problem is people are nervous about doing that. So one of the ways you could come to know more knowledge about your faith is what I call filling the gap time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's gaps and spaces in your day that, you know, for example, you're in the car. What are you listening to?
Yeah.
Hopefully not sports or political talk radio, especially not political talk radio.
Yeah.
My goodness. Everybody who listens to that stuff, they're mad all the time. They're always constantly angry.
You are correct.
So what about listening to something that's going to help you grow in your faith? Listen to Guadalupe Radio. Listen to something that, you know what? I didn't know that about my faith before.
Yeah.
You know, so now when your kids who are away from the church ask you questions, now you have answers. You know, by deepening your own understanding, incorporate into your everyday lived experience, now you're able to share those experiences with others. And that's how we plant the seeds of faith in other people's lives.
I agree. And, you know, Catholicism means universal, right? We're the universal church established by God himself, St. Peter. Upon this rock, he shall build my church. Why is it so hard for us to see the image of God in others? Why is that? I don't understand. And I know in your book, Building a Civilization of Love, a Catholic Response to Racism, that's one of your subjects. Stop seeing color and start seeing the image of God in each person. How do we go about doing that?
Yeah, so it goes back to what those words actually mean. The word image, salem in Hebrew, means a shadow that's the outline or representation of the original. Because we're called to reflect God's life. You know, when we think, we're supposed to be thinking with the mind of God. When we speak, we're supposed to be reflecting the speech of God. When we love, we're supposed to be reflecting the heart of God. And likeness is demuth, which means similar. So we're similar to God, and not obviously not physically similar, but we have God's life in us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, says we are partakers in the divine nature. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, Paul says our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 2:9, it says he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. So we have God's life in us. And when we're able to see that in the person standing in front of us first, now I'm not saying you deny looking at, you know, color and race and language and all that stuff, but the first thing you need to see is that person made in God's image and likeness. And once you see that first, now you're able to appreciate all the other beautiful gifts that God has graced that person with to help them express who they are in God. Because my identity is not being a black Catholic. Somebody said, you're a black Catholic. No, I'm not. I'm a Catholic who's black.
Right.
What do you mean by that? I said, look, when I die and stand before Jesus, he's not going to ask me how black I am.
Right.
Did you pick up your cross and follow me? Did you multiply those talents that I gave you? Did you use the gifts I give you to glorify me to the world? That's what he's going to ask.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean that I deny my black identity? Of course not. But my primary identity, my sole identity, is as a loyal son of God, a brother of Jesus Christ, nourished and fed by the bloody, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus Christ. That's my identity.
Wow. Yeah.
As for me, my identity is Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yep.
My identity is St. Paul. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. My identity is Peter. We must serve God rather than men. That's the identity. And all that being black and where I'm from, those are wonderful, but that's not my identity. That's not who I am.
Sure.
Those are things that help express who I am, but my primary identity is in Jesus Christ.
Wow, that is beautifully said, Deacon. And I want to remind our listeners to hear more from the Dynamic Deacon on Monday. You're going to be speaking about Go and Make Disciples and the Call to Evangelization. That's the topic there. Tuesday, you're talking about Apologetics 101 and the 7 Truths of the Church You Must Know to Defend Your Faith. That's going to be a great talk. And on Wednesday, you're going to talk about putting the armor of God and preparing for spiritual combat. Wow, 3 very, very powerful topics. And the whole theme of the 3 night is making missionary disciples. And I think, Deacon, you are going to make a lot of missionary disciples after your 3-day talk. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Well, Jesus is going to make the disciples, right? I mean, I'm just the instrument, God's
That's
the
right.
musician. So we're just trying to be finely tuned instruments in God's hands so he can use us for his glory.
Well, I think it's going to be a fantastic event. I want to remind everybody again to go into, go check out Our Lady of Guadalupe, okay, Helotes, and you can go into olghelotes.org, and this is a free event, olghelotes.org. The Dynamic Deacon will be there March 18th, 19th, and 20th, all 3 days at 7 p.m. I want to encourage everybody to go. I want to pack the house for you, Deacon, and they're going to find out first and foremost why you are called the Dynamic Deacon. There's going to be so much energy in the room, I don't even know if I could be there. it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, just, as long as God shows up, that's going to be it.
That's right, but I will be there. But it's going to be great. And I really want to encourage everybody to look into this and go meet you, right? I mean, they can go meet you after your talk or your speeches,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I'll be there the whole time for 3 days. I'm very much looking forward to meeting people, especially from the GRN family.
Yes, sir. The Dynamic Deacon, everybody, thank you for coming on my program, Deacon Harold. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I look forward to seeing you live March 18th, 19th, and 20th at Our Lady of Guadalupe Helotes. Thank you so much, Deacon.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it very much.
And just to remind everybody, we are right in the final stages of planning out our Fishers of Men. It's April 9th here at the Witte. It's the South and Central Texas Fishers of Men dinner. So we want to encourage everybody to go into grnonline.com/FOM. There you can see ticket prices, you can see table prices, and we encourage you to sign up, register, and get on board. Thank you, everybody, for another great show. Thank you, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, the Dynamic Deacon. What a great show. God bless you. Have a great week.